Larry, where were you born?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
And who were your parents?
Alvin Nicholson and Bernadine.
And what did they do?
My dad worked at American Hoist and Derrick. It was like a welding type thing, I suppose. I don't know. He died when he was 11, so really never did nothing.
I'm sorry. How about your mother?
She worked at the Pearson's Candy Factory.
Really?
Then a housewife, you know.
Did you get a lot of candy?
I don't remember.
Where did you go to school?
Several schools when I was young, but graduated from Detroit Lakes.
Okay. And what did you do after high school?
I went right in the Air Force. Right about a week or so after graduation, I was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. Did you freely enlist or were you drafted?
Right, I did freely enlist, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what branch?
Air Force.
Air Force. Where did you go for military training?
Lackland Air Force Base for basic, and then they had on-the-job training type thing at a place called Hanna City near Peoria, Illinois. Mm-hmm. So I was there for like two and a half years maybe. Mm-hmm.
What did you do after that time?
Well, from there I went to Vietnam.
Okay. Right to Vietnam.
Right to Vietnam, yeah.
What was that like once you stepped off the plane?
I tell you, it was the weirdest feeling. It was like I can remember leaving Travis Air Force Base not knowing if you're coming back. Mm-hmm. That's the strangest feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. First night in Vietnam, I can remember being in a transient barracks, whatever, and seeing the planes being shelled in the runway. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a sinking feeling. You don't know what to think.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I just turned 19.
Wow. So young. Any special memories that come to mind those first weeks?
Well, you know, when I first got there, Saigon, they shipped you off to, how's that, Ben Thuy, which is a Vietnamese Air Force base. And we did not live in the barracks right away because we had to stay in an old French hotel because they're building our barracks. And it was kind of different, you know, trying to get used to things and mm-hmm. and seeing how the lifestyles were. I mean, it was just like a culture shock because what you and I are used to is like, you know, you take showers every day, or you have one in, you know, regular restroom facilities. Mm-hmm. Over there, it was just like, not that way. Mm-hmm. The whole new world, you know.
Did you meet up with some, you know, special friends?
Oh, yeah, we had some friends out there. As a matter of fact, there was one guy that his wife worked here, but I don't know if you knew Mary Stack or not. She used to be the switchboard operator here, or to, you know, where Eileen works, and I had met him in Vietnam. I was a communications specialist. His job was to repair our equipment. I never knew him before that, but I met him over in Vietnam and found out he lived in Wilburton, and then, of course, become fast friends, and then I got out before he did, and I didn't see him for a year or so, and then I bump into him occasionally, you know. It was kind of unique and strange in a way.
Yeah. How many in your, was it platoon or squadron?
Squadron.
Squadron? How many in your squadron?
Well, we were attached to in Vietnam to a, like say, Vietnamese Air Force Base. I would venture to say there was probably maybe 200-300 Americans on the base. I would think something like that. Because mm-hmm. it was like a handful of what we did, and they had the military police and the cooks. That's about it. That was, you know, because everybody had their own. There was a place called Cantor right down the road, which was an army base, so they shared, you know, stuff like that. So
what was the food like? Was that a culture shock as well? Well,
if you went into their eating establishments, it was, you know, you didn't know what you're eating because mm-hmm. you know, I guess because you didn't know the language and you didn't know the, mm-hmm. what was, you know, considered, you know. Mm-hmm. I heard that dogs were a delicacy. I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't think I've ever ate a dog.
Hope not.
Hope not, yeah. Most of the food I ate was on the base.
How was the base food?
It was pretty good. It was, you know, typical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Army, Air Force, type food here.
How long were you in Vietnam?
1 year.
And one-year tour of duty?
Yeah.
And where were you working? I mean, where was your location?
Okay, we had a communications, it was more like a bunker, like, than anything else. It was all sandbagged and all this stuff, we worked, what I did, I worked a switchboard, and I worked teletype, and I decoded messages as a crypto operator. And so it was like a, right in the middle of the base, you know, no windows, and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be able to do stuff in the dark. It's really amazing how fast you had to, you know, adapt to things, and you know, you do. Mm-hmm.
Any special memories come to mind?
Well, I lost a few friends, you know, and you often wonder what happened to some of these people that, because you get there, and as you're there for a while, some people already put their ear in and they're leaving.
Sure.
And so you don't know,
yeah.
You don't keep contact, you know, just, you know,
mm-hmm.
come and go. But it was, you know, the country is beautiful, there's no doubt about the country. But the stuff people went through, you often wonder why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people still wonder why, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What year were you in Vietnam?
October of 67 through October of 68. I was there right when the Tet Offensive started.
The what?
The Tet Offensive, when the Vietnamese started the big push
okay.
to take the Americans out. That was like in January of 68.
So you were kind of midway through.
Yeah, I was there and all hell broke loose. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a big offensive that started. Our base almost got overrun by the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese or whatever.
Any stories that you'd like to
share? I should have thought of some of these before, but and after you leave, you probably think of some. I've never seen a plane get shot down or over the river, you know. And it's kind of strange to see that. And you would see firefights all the time, and you would have to work on. Every so many days, you had to be like auxiliary place, if you want to call it that.
Uh-huh.
The French had up their bunkers there, big round cement bunkers. Every so many days you were kind of going on the line with the military police or the army and fill in. So it was kind of.
What was that like?
Scary. Well, I can remember being shelled, and every night you got shelled.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you go out to the bunker, and they give you the all clear if you come back out. Because what used to happen is that you'd be shelled for a while, and then you would get people go back out, and then they. But shell again, catching all the GIs back outside, so then I would give you all clear after that. You know, kind of,
were you ever hit?
I was lucky. Some weren't so lucky. A friend of mine from Black Duck, his last month in Vietnam, he lived in the bunker. I mean, outside. He didn't live in the barracks. Literally lived in the bunker. You know, so it's kind of.
Was he hit?
No, he just wasn't sure he got home.
Yeah.
You know, so. There are a lot of things you can keep, they say, and a lot of things you can't keep. I brought back souvenirs and stuff like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
statues. I got shrapnel. And I taken pictures one day, and they, I don't know what I was taking pictures of, but there was an airplane going by, and they took my film away. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of strange.
Taking pictures of what?
Of an airplane flying over, and they
uh-huh.
took my film away.
Who took it away?
MPs. They didn't tell you why, I just, took a picture of something I wasn't supposed to. So it's kind of
and the MPs are the military police?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any problem with sickness?
No, I was pretty fortunate there. You know, but some guys did. It was really funny, you make really good friends there. You find a way to entertain yourself if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys play poker, a lot of letter writing and a lot of
mm-hmm.
junk like that.
Get packages from home, no doubt?
Oh, off and on, yeah.
If they were
crushed in the mail or something.
Aww.
You know, cookies and stuff like that,
yeah.
They'd send, you know, and you couldn't send money home, you know.
Uh-huh.
You could take it back. You could only send so much money. They didn't want people sending you money because they take the U.S. currency out. They could cash it in, see.
Oh.
So that's where they have military payment notes, you know.
Uh-huh.
So every so often they would change the military payment script, they call it, you know.
You said you were in from October to...
So October of 67 to October of 68.
So you spent Christmas there?
Oh, right, yeah.
What was that like?
Well, yeah, lonely, but also, you know, a lot of people there, you know, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He just made the best of it, you know.
Were there USO shows?
Yeah, there was one, I can remember, Martha Ray coming.
She's funny.
She did a Hello Dolly, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
That I remember, yeah. That was fun to watch.
Yeah.
But the other shows, further away, you couldn't get to them. They had other shows, but, you know, depends on your station.
I see.
You'd like to see another one. But,
when did you find out that your tour was over and you were free to go home?
Well, they told you up front you were there for a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you knew that in October?
Then they'll try to get you to re-up. No. I'm not going back.
They wanted you to sign up
for
a second tour?
They always want you to sign up. They even give you bonuses and 30 days off. No.
I'll get out here with my life.
Get out now, yeah.
And what was it like going home?
Well, I tell you, being ecstatic. I can remember on the way back, landing in Hawaii.
Okay.
And GIs are getting off the ground. I wish I would have had a camera. GIs are getting off and kissing the ground.
Oh.
You wouldn't believe how emotional I was just watching those people.
Did you have a layover in Hawaii? Well,
it was probably 3 or 4 hours maybe.
Okay.
And then back to stateside.
What was it like to see your parents? Well, your mother?
Yeah, it was a relief. You know, it was kind of, you know, see the family and stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody's okay and, you know, adjust back to...
Was it a big celebration?
Yeah, we had a party. You know, it was kind of nice to go back and see your family and get back to business. And,
how were you treated once you got home by other people other than your family?
Pretty well. I didn't have any problems with that, you know. Some people may have, but really, nobody really said a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in a number of other bigger cities, I think you heard about it more than smaller towns. Yeah.
Terrible the way they were treated. Coming back.
I can remember even on campus here, I was going to school here, and the protests they had here on campus mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I thought that, you know, even though they're against the war, people I know were respectful to the GIs.
Good.
I think they were, you know.
As they should be.
Because, you know, GIs are just doing, if you're drafted, you're drafted. What do you do?
Absolutely. Did you have a tough time adjusting once you got home?
No. I tried to put that behind me.
No flashbacks or?
You think about something every now and then, but you know, you have to deal with it. You know.
But for the most part, you had a good adjustment?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Good. And what did you do once you got home?
I went to, it was later on for a while, but.
Good.
Started going to school at Morning State.
Okay.
I've been here ever since.
Way to go. Larry, do you have any final thoughts about what you went through serving your country?
I'm proud to serve my country. I don't regret that. And the only thing, you kind of wonder sometimes if things you are involved in are just. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's how the Americans really get a black eye sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just doing what the government wants you to do. Right or wrong, you know, you never know until years later was right or wrong. I mean, how do you know at the time?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the war we're fighting now in Afghanistan?
I think Bush is doing a good job. I really do. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's not a Republican by any means, but no, I think he's doing the right thing. He has to. You know, it's our way of life. It's our freedoms that, you know, have been violated. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're violating their freedoms. I have no clue. I mean, to kill as many people as they did.
Mm-hmm.
But they still, I mean, whoever did it,
mm-hmm.
must have felt pretty strongly to do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a reason for it. And I don't know if anybody's asking why they did it. You know? I mean, what could cause somebody just to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Pearl Harbor. Why would you go into Pearl Harbor and do what they did?
Yeah.
Or why would you kill all the Jewish people? For what reasons?
How people can be so evil.
I know.
And
it's just,
yeah.
You know.
Do you think we can possibly win the war on terrorism?
I think somebody got to get together, countries to cooperate,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not us. I mean, it's like, there used to be a saying, I don't remember how it goes, but something to the effect that they felt, if we don't step up now, who's going to do it? Somebody's got to step up the plate and stop it. Because, you know, if you look at around the world, you see the bombings in London sometimes, or the bombings in Ireland. Always in Israel, it seems like.
Yeah.
Then in South America, you hear about them too. But nobody stepping up and trying to stop it. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
They just put up with it.
Yeah. And nobody should have to go through that.
No. No. Very scary way to live.
I don't know how these people just don't know how they do that.
Did you ever think that terrorism would hit U.S. soil?
I never thought on our, not on our soil. But then again, you know, random bombings in the Olympics, you know, that was a form of terrorism. Whatever reason. You know, the ship of the poops doing the abortion clinics and stuff like that. And, you know, you'd be crazy just to do that.
But never such a...
Not that to the magnitude of that,
Absolutely. Larry, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, somebody that served his country and did what he thought was right or wrong, but believing in, you know, the ideals of the American people, you know, really, you know, by something.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay, welcome.